Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast, Theanos, presented by Moots Pizzeria and Bar. Before or after the game at Comerica, stop by Moots Pizzeria for a slice, drink, or a whole pie. We are live on location at Moots in the heart of downtown Detroit. My name is Jordan Hall. No Eric today. He actually had to head to work. But I'm pleased to be joined by Tigers Reddit moderator and elite marketing professional, Alex Urban. Alex, thanks for hanging out with me.
Jordan, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited.
So I'm a casual dabbler on the Reddit scene. I'd be lying if I said I've interacted with the Tigers board much. Do we have a pretty interactive Tigers Reddit scene?
You know what? It's been up and down the last couple of years for sure. I'd say during the doldrums of the rebuild.
I think that probably goes hand in hand.
Yeah, like most of the subreddits on the Detroit sports scene, you could see the tumbleweed virtually scrolling across the screen. But now it's been, you know, the excitement's back. People are on the boards again. And one of my favorite things about Reddit is the community kind of polices itself. There's arguments and people building off of each other, and you know the excitement is back on our Motor City Kitties.
So how did you get involved with that?
You know, it was in college, and it was just something I spent a lot of time on Reddit. I started with those rage comics long, long ago, and then I stumbled across the Tiger subreddit, and I spent a lot of time, and then I just asked if I could be a moderator. So that was, you know, almost 8 years ago now. I'm not as active as I used to be in college. There's a moderator team that handles a lot of the comments, and they do a phenomenal job. But none of us know each other. We're just random screen names on the internet.
So you could just walk by someone that you talk to all the time and wouldn't know. That's
absolutely
fun.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's a good time. So
I feel like Reddit kind of gets a bad rap. I feel like a lot of the QAnon stuff came off of Reddit. Am I accurate in saying that? Like, what's the wildest thing that you've ever seen on, probably not necessarily your specific board, but Reddit in general?
There is the darkest places of the internet on Reddit. Like, you can, you know, just stumble upon some of the weirdest, oddest, nastiest things that you can ever think of, and any kind of weird sexual thing that has ever been created is on Reddit. So you have to be careful. You know, don't stumble across into the wrong place. But there's also really good parts of Reddit, and you can, you know, discover a lot of cool things and communities and people that are on there. But yeah, I've seen some really odd comics, say the least, of your favorite cartoon characters as a kid that just are burned in your brain. You're like, how did I find this? How do I get away from this as quick as I can?
Just smash that back button. Yeah, I feel like the one that I like the most is like odd and offbeat. There's always some kind of like weird animal story on there, which is obviously straight up my alley. So we are, like I said, we're live at Moots Pizzeria. You are not a rookie. We've been here a couple times. We're starting to ease into it. You are a pro. What did you order here?
So I went with, we have the garlic knots here in front of us, obviously one of their top appetizers on the menu. For the pizza, the Uptown in the Bronx, it's their standard pepperoni pie. What's nice about Moots here is it's authentic New York pizza. You know, everybody loves Detroit style in Detroit, but that thin slice, it just does something different for you. You know, they got that gas-fired grill in the back, these ovens in the back, and it's just a different experience. And I haven't tried anything on the menu I haven't liked yet.
Yeah, same, definitely. The Gemelli pasta, I was looking at that this time. Maybe that's next time we're here. It still seems weird to come in to a pizza place and not get pizza, but we got six trips down here, so I'm sure at some point we'll venture out. So we're sitting down here celebrating a Tigers win. Victor Reyes, never thought I'd say this, but had two triples today. I've compiled a comprehensive list of things that were actually statistically more likely to happen than Victor Reyes hitting two triples in a game. First would be walking through downtown without getting some sort of contact high. Our boy Blaine Hardy, which shout out to Blaine, back in the big leagues.
Milwaukee,
love to
baby.
See it.
Yeah.
I'm honestly considering turning this into a Brewers podcast. We just gave them Norris. They have Blaine. But anyway, him winning a Cy Young, this pod winning a Grammy, and of course the Rapture. So all of those things were more likely than Victor Reyes hitting two triples in one. Honestly, every time he gets an at bat, I'm like, oh yeah, we still Victor Reyes, don't we?
Yeah, he's kind of the unsung hero, but not a hero, right?
Like just, you just kind of straight up
forget
unsung.
About his presence, and then he comes up and goes down, and you know, there's a lot going on with Victor Reyes. But there's a Tigers fan out there who has a tattoo on the back of his leg
across the pond.
Yeah,
I love the idea of him telling other people in England why he has number 22 Reyes on the side of his leg.
Do you think people think that Victor Reyes is like a beyond superstar, like best player in the game?
I mean, maybe that, or they think that he was like the number 22 for Arsenal that people time ago that people forgot about.
Yeah.
But I'd like to think that they think that Victor Reyes is Mike Trout.
I'd like to think so. Shout out to that guy, though, man. I love the commitment.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Hosted by Jay Hall. The show is at Podcastianos. On Twitter, you are at AUrban91. Do you have an Instagram that you would also like to pub?
Instagram is the same way, AUrban91, but you can see more of my horrible takes on Twitter, AUrban91, and I'll follow you right back.
I would say that your takes are definitely, I mean, not that I'm the take judge, but I appreciate your takes. You seem very level-headed, which isn't always the
case on the
internet.
I appreciate that. I feel like I'm a little negative towards the Tigers sometimes,
well,
the ownership group, and this,
honest,
that, and the other.
That's just what it takes. You also are into the Pistons. It's a kind of a good time to be a Pistons fan, eh?
Big Pistons fan, absolutely. I'm a huge fan of all the Detroit sports, suffering Lions fan like the
Yikes.
Rest of us.
That's a tough
break. You know, I think Cade Cunningham and what Troy Weaver is doing with that core four and core group is really going to turn that organization around.
Got my guy Isaiah Livers there, too.
Between
the two, between Cade and Livers, I might actually have to start watching the Pistons. We'll see.
They're going to be exciting this year, I think. Summer league starting up in a few days, so we'll see how that one goes.
Yeah. The show, as you can tell by us being here, is brought to you by Moots Pizzeria and Bar. It's the Motor City's only authentic New York pizzeria, and it's become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. Amongst the best of the best that they have to offer are favorites like the Garlic Knots, the Uptown in the Bronx like Alex is getting, the Gemelli Pasta, and the Chocolate Lava Cake. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. You got a beer here tonight? What are you drinking?
You got to go with the Michigan Classic from Bell's, the Two Hearted. That's my favorite beer, and I figured, Michigan-based podcast.
Indiana-based
podcast, but, one of my favorite beers.
Still a Michigan-based podcast. Let's not get that twisted. Stop in for friends for a few pies or grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. I love that the slice counter is separate. Like, you don't have to go into the whole hubbub of the restaurant. You just pop in. We actually sent Roger there the week before we met up because got our wires crossed, and I think I told him the wrong date. Glad I didn't do that to you. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit MootsPizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, they validate 2 hours in the Z-Lot. Tell them Jordan, Eric, and Alex sent you.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
So, Alex, like I said, we're celebrating a big win. Wasn't a killer day for Miguel Cabrera. Wasn't last night either. But something has gotten into my man. Closing in on milestones, it seems to have rejuvenated the creaking bones and the sore muscles of our guy Miggy.
He looks good. He, since June 1st, and I got my little printout here, he's hitting the ball really, really hard. 308 average, 347 OBP, 7 home runs. I think he's feeling it. I think back to like that Miami Heat team with Shaquille O'Neal and Dwayne Wade back in the day, when people said Shaquille O'Neal can taste the champagne right when they were going for that championship. I think Miguel Cabrera is starting to really think about those milestones and being celebrated, and he's, taking it up a notch.
Yeah. It's unfortunately, the champagne is the personal milestones and not like us actually winning anything, but, he's going to be here for another 12 years. Hopefully we'll win something in that time. But yeah, the thing that I've been impressed about him is he's taking walks again. It's almost like I feel like this is such a cliche, I don't even want to say it, but I feel like he's actually letting the game come to him for the first time in years and not just straight up pressing and you know, swinging and missing at 92 mile an hour fastball. Yeah, over his last week, 478 on base. Take that.
He looks comfortable, right? And yeah. I think this is the first season in a long time where he's somewhat healthy. I know, you know, he's got those creaking bones, like you said, but he looks comfortable. He looks engaged more than anything else. Yeah. And I think, you know, I love the way that he interacts with the younger players. He had Harold Castro in that Simba pose. he looks like he's having fun, and I think that's the biggest thing for Miguel Cabrera is he enjoys having fun on the field, and when he's hitting and he's playing well, he's a different player.
Yeah, and he's getting a little bit more time out in the field, which I think is helpful for him. Like, wouldn't necessarily think it would be, but he's the kind of guy that I think enjoys messing with guys at first base.
And, I love it. I want more of it.
Yeah, I think I have down in my notes that he is more watchable in the batter's box. Some of the at-bats, specifically early in this year, were kind of ugly.
Yeah, I was worried, you know, we had 2 more years left on the contract. What we're going to do is if he was just dead weight, and you run into the problem of he's an iconic player. He's going to have his number and his name in the Comerica Park seats and on the wall. Do you cut a player like that? Do you eat the money? What would that look like? But, you know, he's turning it around now to where it's watchable and you're interested, and he feels like the player, not that he once was, but similar to shades of former Miguel Cabrera.
How do you feel about the milestone trackers in the outfield?
I think it's okay. I think you know, they really need to do something to get the fans back, especially one after the pandemic, but two after the just terrible seasons they've had. So it's something to cheer for. It's a little gimmicky, but I don't have any issues with it personally.
Speaking of doing something to get the fans back engaged, Chris Illich was on, I can't remember exactly, I mean, just press conference basically, talking about how the Tigers might seek, and I'm quoting here, high impact improvement this winter. What are your first thoughts when you hear that from Chris?
Jordan, I will believe it when I see it. So I am, you know, I was a huge fan of Mike Illich. I thought he was a great owner. I loved his passion. But the apple has fallen so far from the tree in my mind. You know, I don't want to ever hear about them complaining about money. Not that they have the most money in the world, but, you know, they spent probably $1 billion with a B on that new casino in Atlantic City. Don't tell me you don't have months to spend. When you own a professional sports franchise, it's a profitable endeavor. So it's time to spend. And Chris, baby, I know you are a subscriber of the podcast, Deanos. It's time to spend or sell. You heard it here first.
That would be nice. Either of those. I would be good with it. On the broadcast last night, Shep was talking about how, you know, he's been so patient. He's lived through the lean years. Those are him induced. There was nobody saying, like, hey, let's not spend any money. That was kind of a Chris thing. Like you say, I will believe it when I see it. Okay, I'm giving you a blank check to start spending. What position do you go after first, and do you have a specific name in mind?
First day of free agency, I want a big name shortstop.
Big name shortstop.
You know, I feel like I was okay with what they did in the draft.
Yes.
You had Mayer there at number 3. You didn't take him. So to me, that proves that they have bigger plans, right? Or at least you want to think so.
All right, let's pause real quick. Got some pizza coming.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right, so we are back. We both had our pizzas. Give me your thoughts on your uptown and the Bronx.
It was delicious. I savored every bite except for this one piece that I'm going to take home to my wife, but excellent as always. Moots Pizzeria and Bar does not disappoint.
Wow, what a lucky lady. Taking a piece home, said just a moment ago she's pregnant, naming the kid either Jacoby or Harold, trying to think, Willie.
I'll probably get shot down on all those, but I'm going to give it a try. Maybe Jordan, who knows?
Grayson. Jake.
Shout out to Nicole Ann, my wife.
Hey. So I had the buffalo chicken pizza, which was also fantastic. I feel like I spent most of my life assuming I didn't like buffalo stuff, which I don't know why. And then I tried it, and of course, as everyone knows, it's fantastic in all regards. But yeah, a bit spicy on a pizza, take it all day long. And we have completely devoured the garlic knots here. So I believe when we picked, or when we left off, we were talking about Illich claiming that the Tigers will seek high-impact movement this winter. And both of us expressed a sense of skepticism. Mm-hmm. Talked about you want a shortstop. I also want a shortstop. We talked about this a little bit while we were eating. I actually a little bit wonder if maybe we should hold off for one more year and then go after Trey Turner. I think it'd be a little bit more money. But then you kind of solve the leadoff situation. He's an incredible shortstop. Also, why did the Nationals just give him away? That was a strange one.
I'm not sure what's going on there. And, you know, the return from L.A. for both him and Scherzer didn't really seem like, for what they gave up, they didn't get enough. But I tend to agree with you. I think, you know, next year for a stopgap option, something a little more than Zach Short. But if you're not going to spend Chris Illich on a high name, do it the following year. Because next year, you know, I think we can compete for the wild card, but it's not going to be World Series contenders. World Series bound! I don't know if that's going to happen next year.
No, probably not. There's also a couple starting pitchers. I mentioned Eduardo Rodriguez. We just saw him the other day. He looked pretty stinking good. I wouldn't mind adding him to that rotation coming into next year.
I definitely think we need some starting pitching depth. I think you've seen this year, you need more than five going into the season because something's going to happen, especially what's happening with the league cracking down on substances.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing a lot of injuries and things like that. A lot of people are going to say Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer. Those guys are nearing the end of their career. Still great pitchers, but, you know, if you get past the novelty of it all, there could be better options in my mind.
There could be. It would be interesting to see what a guy like Casey or Matt Manning could take from him.
Yeah.
But I feel like every time I hear someone say that, I think, like, how much is that actually the case, or do we just want to read into that as fans? I choose to believe that the older guys are mentoring the younger guys, but who really knows?
It would be really cool, you know, as a fan, but in terms of, you know, team build and what you're going to do, there's so many different directions that they could go.
Plus, I mean, Verlander was this good without Chris Fetter. Like, it's a little bit late in the... I always make jokes that Chris Fetter can fix anything. I'm not sure that he can fix the injury or age, but I don't know. Maybe he can. Who knows?
I've been incredibly impressed by him, by Fetter, you know, so the sky's the limit. But, yeah, we'll see what he can do with next year's staff.
So I want to jump into our second base situation. We've been talking about Willie Castro a lot this year. It turns out Willie Castro is not actually as good as maybe I had thought. I declared him the shortstop of the future at points last year, and turns out the only player that has a lower OBP over the last month is Zach Short, which that's not the company you want to be in. And Cody Clemens, obviously minor league numbers or AAA numbers mean absolutely nothing, but Cody Clemens is absolutely raking left-handed bats. Where do you fall in that? Do you want to see Cody get some at-bats in the big leagues? Is it time?
You know what, this is going to sound much more harsh than I mean it to, but I'm over the Edward Scissorhands experience with Willie Castro. Like, just one of the worst defenders that I've ever seen. And you know what, you have Cody Clemens stewing in the minor leagues here. He's got decent AAA numbers, and you drafted this kid in the third round a couple years ago. At what point are you just going to give him a shot, right? You can bounce Willie Castro up and down all year. He's on, I believe, it's his last option, but at least see what you have in Cody Clemens, and you know, maybe he can catch a little fire. I don't think he's going to be a superstar in the league, but I'm interested, and I want to see something different at this point.
I feel like he kind of fits the mold of that, like, pigeonhole good at what he does second baseman. You know, like, there's been guys that they have a little bit of pop, or guys that have a little speed. Like, you don't necessarily want, well, I mean, you obviously want your second baseman to be able to do anything, but that's kind of one of those positions that if you can just get something plus from them, it's a plus. And he's got some pop. He's taking a few more walks than he did.
Yep.
But I feel like we're treating him kind of like we would treat a guy like Jacob Robson or something like that. Like, or who was the dude? Jason Krzyzan that would continually light up the minor leagues. And you knew, like, he's not really a prospect. But, like, Clemens, we draft him, like you say, in the third round. There's not really a reason he's not a prospect. Like, maybe give him a go. Like,
it is. I think it's odd that you haven't seen him yet, but I think it's well past time to at least see, right? Like, you know, call him up, see what the kid can do, get his feet wet, give him his cup of coffee. He's at least deserved that much. I mean, 188 at-bats in the minors this season. He's got a 321 OBP, an 800 OPS, and then you look at Willie Castro. I know you mentioned, and I totally agree, minor league numbers mean nothing, but Willie Castro is a 620 OPS. Like, it's just, it's not acceptable for a major league player, and he matched that with subpar defense, and I would just like to see something different.
I don't understand the thing with Willie. Like, he's a fairly fluid athlete. Like, there's no real reason he should be as bad as he is defensively.
I completely agree. It's baffling.
Yeah. Maybe we should try the whole Nick Castellanos thing, bounce him to the outfield, then bring him back, and then take him back to the outfield. I think that would probably help. Let's move on. Eric Haas won Rookie of the Month. The first Tigers Rookie of the Month since, like, 2017, I want to say. Maybe earlier than that. Interesting story. A local kid, a 28-year-old rookie. He seems like such a good dude. I'd love to see him succeed.
Hometown hero, American League Rookie of the Month, grass mower of the month, dad of the month. You know, his wife's tweeting about him. It's just, you fall in love with the story. You love what he's doing. He's a little long in the tooth for being a rookie, but I love what the Tigers have going on with him, Akil Baddoo, Casey Mize. You have arguably the top 10 Rookie of the Year candidates on the team right now, and they're fun to watch, and he's a big reason why. I love the thump in his bat, and I think, you know, him and Rodgers are a good duo. We haven't seen Rodgers in a while because of the injury, but, you know, they handle the pitching staff pretty well.
He's already a two-war guy on the season, but I feel like this is kind of what good teams do. Like, I feel like a couple of years ago, the Yankees had it where they brought up Andujar, and all of a sudden, he's a superstar. They put Tiago Estrada in the lineup, and all of a sudden, he's really good. Like, good teams take kind of meh guys, put them in the lineup, and figure out ways for them to succeed. And, like, obviously, most of the credit goes to Eric Haas here. But, like, AJ kind of managing the role and figuring out where to use him to succeed. I don't know. Like, we are starting to do things that good organizations do, and it's been a very long time. And I do enjoy seeing that.
I couldn't agree more. It's invigorating to see. Shades of JD Martinez, not nearly to that level, but, you know,
yeah,
it's been a while since something has been more than a flash in the pan, and he very well could be that, but you like what you're seeing, and it seems like it could be sustainable.
Even if he is, how many times have we gotten a two-war season out of a rookie in forever? And we got him, and I think Akil is approaching that mark. Like,
yeah.
I'll definitely take it. I remember seeing, it was down at Joker March, and probably the longest home run I've ever seen. He hit a ball at the top of the batter's eye in center field. And then, I don't know if you remember this, Whit, but we saw him and his wife and his kid, like, they're out kind of where the big chair, you know what I'm talking about, in the concourse.
Oh, yeah.
And his kid came running up to him, like, I don't know. I think from that point, I was like, it would be great if he was good. I didn't assume he was going to be because he was a 27-year-old kid in the minor leagues. But it's, I don't know. I enjoy seeing him up and doing well.
I think it's a great story for him, too. I mean, he's a hometown guy from Westland. You have to enjoy probably playing for your hometown team, right? You have to have a dream come true to wear the old English D. So as long as he can keep, you know, cracking the ball. And, you know, they put him in left field, and he's done it without any kind of
great. Yeah, and credit to him for, like, I don't know, catcher to the outfield. Like, that's a tough transition. Like, I'm not going to say he's an amazing outfielder, but he's
holding
passable.
His own, you know.
We've had far worse in the outfield in the last 15 years than him. And I feel like that kind of speaks to his willingness and versatility and all that kind of stuff that you actually like to see. The only other thing I want to talk about tonight, the Daniel Norris trade. I don't know if you saw this, but we sent him to – I don't know if you saw this. Of course you saw it. It was the only thing we did on the deadline. Speaking of, the deadline was absolutely nuts. That was such a fun deadline. It would have been cool if we could have been a little more part of it. But just like, boom, 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 all this stuff. Did you enjoy the deadline?
I loved it. I don't know if this is true, but I feel like I saw that all 30 teams were active
really?
At the deadline. Or at some part of some trade, whether it was a minor trade like what the Tigers did or, you know, major trades.
That should be required. Like, you have to do something on the deadline.
Yeah.
You should get in Manfred's ear.
Every organization probably has guys that could use, you know, low-level guys or long-time minor leaguers that could use a change of scenery. So why not?
Right? Yeah, Jason Chrisam could have used a change of scenery a long time before whatever ended up becoming of him. So we get, honestly, I'm spacing on the fellow's
Reese
name.
Olsen.
Reese Olsen. Did you see, I heard an interview with him. They said that he saw that the Tigers, or that the Tigers had sent Norris to the Brewers, and he joked with his roommate and told him that he was traded for him, and then it ended up being him.
I think it's hilarious.
The one that was traded.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious. But yeah, I mean, I love the trade for the sheer fact that Daniel Norris, great story, you know, Van Man, the axe shaving, all that, didn't turn out nearly what we thought he was going to be from the David Price trade, but if you can get anything for him, and Reese Olsen's certainly a lottery ticket,
yeah,
that lottery ticket could turn into a bullpen piece in the future, a fifth starter, something like that. He's not a high-end prospect, but anything that you can get for a player of Daniel Norris's ability and where he's at in the rotation and the bullpen and all that, I think is very helpful.
So I have very few areas in which I actually have connections, but I asked somebody within the South Bend Cubs organization their thoughts on him because they've seen him, I want to say, three times this year. And he told me, and I quote, "Don't get too excited." But you know, you give a decent strikeout number guy to Chris Vetter, and who knows? I mean, obviously, he has some work to do before he gets in Chris Vetter's hands, but, you know, you never know.
Why not? It sounds like a typical Al Avila return, right?
But, yeah.
You know, he's got a... I kind of looked at some video of him after we got him, and he's got a very violent motion, so you know that could spell trouble for the shoulder. But you know, he could be something. Who knows, yeah. Right?
It's funny the violence in the motion. It's like you run a fine line. Like the more violent it is, the harder it's going to be for the hitter to pick it up. But also, you're probably going to wreck yourself at some point. So like, hopefully, he can walk that balance nice.
Yeah.
He looks a little like Casey Mize too.
A little bit, yeah.
So, I mean, maybe there's something there.
He's got a little bit of swagger to him in his interviews he was doing with Messrich.
Definitely.
I don't think he's pitched just yet, but I'm excited to see. They said they're going to try to be aggressive with him and move him to Erie. We'll see what that looks like.
Moving people to Erie has worked out well for basically everyone we've sent there this year.
Yeah.
Because Casey's raking and Riley Green. It's nice. I can bring Riley Green up to you without you going overboard and spending 10 minutes talking about Riley Green like I'm unable to do with Eric. So, all right, let's jump ahead. So I did not think ahead. I should have power ranked something, but I didn't. So apologies to everyone out there, but I did see something on the side of the road while running.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week. So this one was on, it was kind of on a main road on the sidewalk. There was a pair of like khaki cargo shorts with the belt still intact in them.
Wow.
I want to know what is the story behind that. Like clearly somebody was wearing them and then at that point was no longer wearing them. Like, I want to know how he got back. I guess I say he or she, it's 2021. Could be either. Yeah, so that one, that's what I saw on the side of the road while running this week. I feel like I should put up cameras to see if I can catch this person coming back for their shorts.
Maybe they're still out there, you know, running around pantsless. Who knows? Or maybe they're still looking for them.
So anyway, listeners out there, if you see somebody in the South Bend area without pants, feel free to go ahead and let me know. All right, let's move on to Twitter questions. Just like Eric, I don't have these pulled up yet, so bear with me here for a second. All right, the first one comes in from Timothy Pope. With 6 weeks to go, how many wins do the Tigers need to end up with for you to be... How many wins do the Tigers need for you to not be disappointed? Summing up the question.
I would like to see them finish within five games, if not over 500, for the entire season.
I could definitely see that. And how does that compare with where you were at before the season?
I didn't expect them to be nearly this competitive and, more importantly, this fun.
Yeah.
And then I remember tweeting in April, I'm already looking at mock drafts for next year because how just absolutely
April
awful
was rough.
They were. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was ready to, like, fire Al Avila myself in a Chris Illich costume. Like, I couldn't believe how bad
that.
They were.
That would be great for content.
They turned it around and they look, you know, so they look like a different team. So while I don't have high expectations, they're within a stone's throw of the wild card. I don't think they're going to make it. But continue to play ball like you have been. Continue to win series 3 months in a row with a winning record.
Yeah.
If they could finish the year with a winning record in August and September, I'm happy.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like I came into the season assuming was hoping for a nice 69-win season.
Nice.
I'm long past that at this point. But I feel like you say, it would be nice to kind of stay in that touching range of 500, but I feel like I've already gotten more enjoyment from the season than I assumed. So kind of house money. Next one comes in from my buddy Jacob Skronik. He says, Tyler Alexander has Civil War era facial hair. Fair. Speaking of, we've seen Tyler Alexander start in exactly half of the Tigers games we've been to this season, which that's bad luck. which Tigers have had the best and worst facial hair? I feel like Phil kind of has your classic, like, drink a lot of Monster Energy drink facial hair, which I feel like Eric would have been disappointed if I hadn't given him a mention.
I think Jake Rogers, both best and worst.
That's
because
true.
Because I appreciate it, but it objectively looks bad.
Well said. Very well said. Also, he's going to the Tigers at Orioles next Wednesday and Thursday. Anything you want him to look for? No, just enjoy Camden Yards. Have you been to Camden Yards?
I have.
It's so cool.
I'm one of those guys. It's on my bucket list to try to see every Major League stadium. And of the ones that I've been to, I think it is probably my favorite.
Really? Yeah. What else is up high for you?
Comerica. You know what? I do think it's underrated.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yankee Stadium in New York, the new one, it was huge. I kind of liked it for what it was, but, you know, it wasn't anything to write home about. Atlanta was much in the same way.
The new one or the...
The new one, yeah.
Gotcha. Yep. Did the Freeze run that?
I did not get to see that.
Oh, man.
I really wanted to. I just went down to a random game when I was down there for work one time. It was the Braves, and I couldn't even remember who was playing. And there was a fight, and I left in, like, the seventh inning.
Dang. That's an eventful night.
It was a good time. Yep. And then Cleveland's a good time. White Sox, very cookie cutter, but whatever.
Yeah. A lot of classic rock at the White Sox Stadium.
Yes.
A lot of classic rock.
Just not disco, whatever you do, right?
Yeah. All right. Anthony Troy asks, if Chris Illich spends, and I mean that's a huge if, very true, who do you think realistically we could sign? Again, I believe that cheap, or I'll believe him when I see it. Kind of already went over this. I would like to see both a impact bat and pitcher. I kind of can't see him opening up twice. But I feel like that would be a nice stepping stone to hopefully, like, when he says impact, I think that means a 3-WAR player. I genuinely don't think we're going to sign somebody like Corey Seager this offseason. But if we can get a couple halfway decent non-1-year deal guys, I'd be happy with that.
I agree.
What up, fam? This is, of course, your boy Jordan here to tell you about one of my all-time favorites, Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. It is the only authentic New York pizzeria in the Motor City and has become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. You know me, I don't play when it comes to pizza, and this is where it's at. Amongst the best of the best that they have to offer are favorites like Garlic Knots, the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, Gemelli Pasta, and that chocolate lava cake is hotter than Andrew Romine in April. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. Stop in with friends for a few pies and grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, they validate 2 hours of parking in Lot Z. Tell them Jordan and Eric sent you.
Next one. I have tickets for the game in St. Louis on 8/24 and 8/25. What are my chances of seeing home run 500? Considering he's only two away, that's kind of a dig. I mean, hopefully he has it by then. He's hot right now. I feel like that's unnecessary.
Barring an injury, knock on wood, you know, I'd be surprised if it took him that long.
At JSlaw0809, Pizza Slayer, do you ever think about what would happen if you had played a game of musical chairs with Rod and Mario?
That's so good. I am blocked by Mario and Pemba on Twitter.
For what?
Yes.
This is a story we have to hear.
When I was in high school, I believe, or maybe like my first couple years in college, I would tweet at him incessantly anytime he'd mention, like, oh, this guy doesn't have a hit off Justin Verlander in like 30 at-bats. Sure enough, the guy would hit a single or, you know, something like that, and I'd be like, you jinxed us, Mario and Pemba! And he like tweeted back at me one time, like, just, it said tired. And I was like, yeah, these road trips are tough to hang up, you know. But he was telling me to back off, and then eventually just blocks me. And I was like, yeah, I probably deserve that, so.
Are you blocked by anyone else?
Not that I know of. Not of high profile. Hmm.
I don't know if I am. I feel like it would be nice if there was some way to look up who has blocked you. I'd be curious to know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's somebody. Probably too many animal pictures.
I do want to put out in the world, though, if I own the Tigers, I'd bring them both back. because it does break my heart that was both of those gentlemen's dream jobs. You know, Mario Pemba's a Michigan guy. Allen played for the teams. They're not necessarily my favorite broadcasters, but can you imagine like getting your dream job ripped away from you like that?
Yeah.
And, you know,
over-chair.
Public shaming and all that.
Yeah.
And they had an icy relationship, but...
And then it turns out you can do worse when it comes to a broadcast duo. We'll leave that one there. We spent a lot of last season talking about the broadcasting. Probably shouldn't go back there. All right, last one is from Adam Langworthy. He says, will we win the division next year, or are we going to have to play in the wild card game on our way to a World Series championship? I love the optimism. Honestly, there are so many wild cards. I can see it happening. Like,
you get a wild card, and you get a wild card,
yeah,
and you get
exactly.
a wild card.
It's straight up Oprah situation. I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but it could happen.
I'm expecting them to compete for at least the second wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough to beat the White Sox. Like, the White Sox are a juggernaut at this point. But you get Casey Mize in a one-game playoff, I'll take that all day.
Agreed.
Love Casey. Casey's at, like, 2.5 wins above replace. Yeah, Casey's having an incredible year. I feel like he's flown way under the radar just because of how many different improvement stories there's been. But Casey's been excellent.
I've been very pleased. And, you know, Tariq Skubal to a lesser extent. I know he's starting to figure some things out. But the future pitching staff looks strong.
Yeah. People, I don't know. People get so concerned with what they're currently seeing from those guys. Like, pitching development is not, you know, linear. Like, it does not all happen at once. You have to take the good with the bad in each start. And clearly the trajectory with both of them is upwards. And as previously mentioned, they have Chris Fetter running the show. So, obviously, that is... They're in good hands. Well, Alex, I appreciate it so much. Coming down here to the heart of Detroit, sharing some pizza with me, talking a little baseball. Remind us where we can find you on Twitter.
AUrban91, and thank you so much, Jordan, for having me. Big fan of the show for a long time, so it's been an honor and a privilege.
All right, guys, we will catch you next week.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.